It's hard to believe it's Christmas time already. Christmas has been coming and going for almost 2,000 years. Of course, it's always changing over the years. Christmas, the way we celebrate it today, is not like they did it even 1,500 years ago or 1,000 years ago. But one thing is still in common, and that is we celebrate God keeping His promises by sending His Son into this world to become our Savior. And He had to do that in order to pay for our sins. So He had to be born as a human being. So He had to be born of woman. Though in spirit, who He was inside, He was God. And He took on human flesh. And He had to be born among the Jews so that He could be born under the law, because He had to fulfill the law. Because only someone who was perfect could ever be the sacrificial lamb for the world. No human being could do that, but God could, but He had to take on flesh in order to do it. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. But there are aspects to Christmas that we look at from time to time to see how God works. Because God so often has chosen to work through people. And so this morning and the next two Sundays, we're going to look a little bit at the man Joseph and see a bit from him how God worked in him and through him, and thus in us and through us. And when you think about Bible characters, if you want to talk about Bible heroes, you know, we might think of Abel, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, many of the prophets, Elijah, Elisha. And then we can think of Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and so forth. Real heroes of the Bible, real heroes of the faith. But how many times do we think of Joseph? I mean, after all, what was Joseph? You know, Jesus wasn't his child. He wasn't giving birth to the Christ child. He really had a relatively small part in the whole scheme of things. And yet his part was crucial. So let's take a look at Joseph this morning. Just part of it. We'll look some more the next 2 weeks. But in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, we have what's all familiar to all of us. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Joseph was a righteous man, Scripture says. Joseph was a righteous man. Now, people in the Old Testament had been declared righteous. You know, I already mentioned a few: Abel, Noah, Moses, Abraham. You know, they all were right with God. But what does that mean, being right with God? Because we can look at the biblical examples of these men and see that none of them were perfect. But the thing was, their heart was right with God. Even David, King David, with all the sins that he committed, he always went running back to God to seek forgiveness and not repeat his sins, because he had a heart for God. That means they all believed God. They believed what he said. Not just believed that he existed, but believed that what he said, and that what he said was important for how to live. And every one of those men endeavored to follow God's teaching. Imperfectly, but they endeavored to obey God. They believed him. They believed what he said and knew that God meant what he said, and said what he meant. In our day and age, many people don't think God means what he says. That things that God says are optional or irrelevant today. But the reality is God's word is always relevant and it's always binding. We are called to obey. Even Charlie mentioned it in the communion meditation about playing by the rules. There are rules for living, and God established those, and he's revealed them to us in his word. And they're written on our hearts as well. But the majority of people have always chosen to disregard many of those laws and to disregard the lawgiver. But we are not among those, even as Joseph was not among those. Joseph was a man who was righteous. That means he believed God. In his upbringing, in his learning, in the synagogue, and raised by his family, he had a love for God and a love for obeying God. Because that's really where it comes from, is loving God so much we want to do what God tells us to do. We want to obey. We want to please him. And we want to be in a good relationship with him. And Joseph was that kind of man. Now, I'm sure that there were other righteous men in and around Galilee, Nazareth, during this time. But Joseph stood out. Joseph, in how he lived, how he conducted himself, was always based upon what God said. And that elevated him above all the other men around him. He was more than just a nice guy. And he was more than just a good guy according to human standards. He was a good guy according to God's standards. And he lived it. It wasn't just having the knowledge. It wasn't just memorizing scripture. He lived it. He allowed what he knew of God to influence every aspect of his life. That's what made him so very, very special in God's eyes. And we see that he was trying to do the right thing here, because he was not only endeavoring to be right with God, he was endeavoring to be right with those around him. In our day and age, if you want to be right with people, people expect you to see things their way. Live and let live and approve of what they do. But just because someone wants something one way doesn't mean it's right. And us going along with their views doesn't mean that it's right or that we're right. Because if they're wrong, they're wrong. And if we go along with them, we're wrong too. God established that which is right about our personal relationships. Remember the two greatest commandments. Love God first with all our being, and then love your neighbors yourself. And Joseph was one who was good at this, of caring about people around him. And we see how he must have treated everybody else because of how he was looking at Mary. They were engaged to be married, and oftentimes engagements back then, which was as binding as a marriage contract. I mean, you know, if she had cheated on him, it would have been considered adultery. And by the Mosaic law, she should have been put to death. But Joseph loved Mary, and he had compassion upon Mary. Now, it doesn't say here at what point Mary explained things to Joseph. But when you think about it, who would believe such a thing? Oh, well, an angel visited me and said I'm going to give birth to the Messiah. Yeah, right. It doesn't matter how righteous of a person you are. That's kind of out there. You know, that's never been done before. That's just a little strange. What were you drinking, Mary? Who were you with? But Joseph loved her enough, had enough compassion. He did not want to see her killed, but rather he decided to divorce her quietly. He wasn't going to make a big issue of it. He wasn't going to embarrass her any more than she already was going to be. Maybe the family was already planning on sending her out of town. She'd already been off visiting relatives, Elizabeth, who was, you know, giving birth to John, which we would know later as John the Baptist. He had compassion for her. You know, she made a mistake as far as he could see. She did something that should not be done. But he could not bring himself to bring about her death. And so he was going to help arrange to get her to go off on her own and to be safe. He had compassion. And he was honest. because he knew this was the right thing to do. The law said she should be put to death, but he could not do that. And yet he could not marry her either, because it would have been dishonest to marry her and claim somebody else's child for himself. It would have been dishonest. It would have been saying to his community, what Mary did, I don't care. It's fine with me. Well, that takes a righteous man and makes him as much of a sinner as she was. And Joseph couldn't do that. He was honest. And so he had to divorce her and separate himself from her. That was the right thing to do. And I find it fascinating. I've always found it fascinating that according to verse 20, he had thought this through. He had reasoned through it. What is the right thing to do? And he came to the right conclusion. And God gave him that time to reason through it. You know, he didn't have the dream before he had to wrestle with it. No, the dream came after he made his decision. And his decision was, from a human standpoint, the correct one. But then in a dream, the Lord appeared to him, an angel of the Lord, and said, and reminded him who he is. He says, Joseph, son of David, which is meaning that he's of the lineage of King David. He's reminding Joseph that even God knows his lineage, how he's connected. Yes, right now Joseph is just a poor carpenter living in a small town which was not known to be a wealthy place, probably struggling just to get by, and yet he's descended from a king. And that's to remind him that the Messiah would be a descendant of this great king as well. And so the angel says, Joseph, son of David. In other words, remember your connections, Joseph. Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. We're going to talk more about that next week. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God knew that Joseph was so, in his life, every day, concerned about obeying God, pleasing God, that God knew that when he called upon him, Joseph would say, okay. Now it was okay to take Mary home as his wife, because he knew this truly was the Messiah. Mary hadn't lied to him. It wasn't a wild story. It was the absolute truth. So here's the question for us. In our day and age, it's really not that much different from any other day and age. There have always been struggles, always been disease, always been wars and rumors of wars. Life and death, and life just has been going on for centuries. And people struggling to live and to have a decent life. But we also know that the majority of people have chosen not to walk with God. But how about us? Are we right with God? I don't mean perfect, but do we have a heart that loves God? Do we have a mind that's committed to pleasing Him? See, when we each came to faith in Jesus Christ, when we heard the word and we were convinced and we confessed our sins and repented, turned to God, were buried with Him in Christian baptism and have been walking with Him ever since, have we really been walking with Him? Or is our faith just an add-on where we gather for worship, but then we live however we want to like everybody else during the week? Is our daily living pleasing to God? That's the question we each have to ask. And the answer probably will at least be yes and no. There are things that we do in our lives that we do because we're Christians. We know what God says. And so we're not going to lie. We're not going to cheat. We're not going to do things that we see other people in the world do. And yet there are times where we may lie, where we may cheat, where we may do like the rest of the world. And then we realize what we've been doing. And we come running back to God and seek His forgiveness and try harder to obey Him. That's what it means to be right with God. To serve Him and love Him because of what He's done for us. We believe Him. And because we believe Him, we want to please Him. In every aspect of our life, in the workplace, at school, in our relationships with one another, with people that we're married to, with people that we're dating if we're not married yet. Everything. God should be influencing how we relate to Him and how we relate to those around us. Having the same compassion for others that Joseph did. Boy, if there was anyone who had the right to put Mary to death, it was Joseph by the law. But he had compassion. Well, we need to have compassion. We need to be honest. And I think for the most part, as Christians, we endeavor to do that. But we need to keep working on that because we are told to be perfect even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And what Jesus is doing there is saying, I'm setting a high standard for you to strive for. I know you're not going to get there, but because the bar is so high, there's no room to sit down on your laurels. Yeah. You keep learning, you keep growing, you keep trusting because that trust is going to be tried and tried and tried again throughout your life until your last breath. To be right with God. To believe what He says, regardless of what the world says. That's what's so important for us. To be right with one another. You know, just compassion. Compassion doesn't mean accepting sin is okay. Compassion isn't going along with sin. Compassion is realizing you have messed up and I love you anyway. And I will not judge you. That's the way Joseph looked at Mary. He was not going to condemn her. But then when he found out that what she said was true, he did the right thing by obeying. He always wanted to be right with God. We are facing challenges at times in our lives where people around us, society as a whole, want us to do things differently. And to behave and to think differently than the way God tells us to think and to behave. But we must always remember to be like Joseph. To obey God. To trust Him. To want to be right with Him. No matter what other people say. Because look at what God did through Joseph. Granted, you know, he had nothing to do with, you know, with the coming of the Messiah, except he was going to be the father figure for an infant, the protector of that infant. He would be the father figure for the children that would come later because they had no physical union until after Jesus was born. And then we know they had at least six kids beyond Jesus. Four boys were mentioned by name and at least two girls because the girls are mentioned in the plural. So how many they had altogether between Mary and Joseph, we don't know. And God did not shortchange Joseph. He was marrying Mary. And it was okay for them to behave as husband and wife after Jesus was born. See, God wasn't asking Joseph to sacrifice that relationship. But He did and expect Joseph to sacrifice his reputation. Because taking Mary home as his wife was going to look like he had misbehaved. That they had been doing some hanky-panky that was not allowed. He put his own life on the line because he too could have been stoned to death. We'll talk a little more about the challenges of that next week. But what I wanted to focus on today is our own life, looking within just ourselves. How much do I long to be right with God? How much do I long to please Him every day? That's what we have to ask. Scripture doesn't say Joseph was the only righteous man, but he was righteous, and God chose him for a very special job, and his name has been remembered through all these centuries. And one day we'll get to meet Joseph face to face. But the question is, what is God able to do through you and through me? If we are endeavoring to be right with Him every day, God can and will work in us and through us. Because even as Joseph, we have a mission too. And that is to carry on the work of Christ in this world. And He wants to work through each of us. We've been called and declared righteous. But we must live that righteousness in our relationship with God and our relationship with one another and people in this world. But if we're not working at it, if we're not really living it, then we're not much use to God. God wants to do so much. And like Abel, like Noah, like Abraham and Moses and David, Elijah and Elisha, and so many of the other prophets, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Mary, Elizabeth, God loves to work through His people. He loves when people love Him so He can bless them by working in them and through them. It's a special thing. And one day, we will find out how much treasure we've laid up in heaven, because that's where our heart is, in heaven, with Jesus, with the Father. Let's make sure that is indeed where our hearts are. And God will work mightily in us, and one day we will hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Maybe we don't think we've done anything fantastic, but God will say, "Hey, the most fantastic thing of all is I was able to work in you and through you." That's what God wants. Joseph is our example. May we live up to it. Right now we're going to sing a song called "Change My Heart, O God." And you know, that's a song that we need to sing no matter how long we've been a Christian. Because sometimes, even though we don't realize it, we may have lost our way somewhat. We may have become complacent. We may have become comfortable. And sometimes we can just get so lured by the world that we don't even realize we've kind of wandered away from God. And sometimes the things of the world, the temptations, can snare us. And next thing you know, we waste so much time in things that are against God's will. And then we need to come to our senses and turn to God and seek His help. What I love about this song is, it says, "Change my heart, O Lord." You know, because sometimes we just can't change our heart ourselves. We try, and yet the temptations are too strong. We try, but you know, there's so many people who want us to think their way, and it's hard to say no. And the reality is, we can't do so many things on our own. But if we love God, then God says, "I place my Spirit in you, and I will help you if you're willing to allow me to work in you and through you. If you submit your will to me and say, 'Lord, change my heart,' then I will. You want to be like me? I will make that happen. It will take a lifetime. But I am the potter, and you are the clay. I will mold you and make you. But you have to submit. You have to pray. You have to say, 'Lord, help me,' and I will change you." That's the wonderful promise of God. He molded and made Joseph. May we be putty in the Lord's hands too, so that one day when we do meet Joseph, we will be able to meet him as equals. Let's stand together as we sing, shall we?